What we're going to talk about is we're going to talk about powerful prayers, how to have a powerful prayer, how to give powerful prayers in our lives. But before we do, let me start off by saying, wasn't last Sunday just great? Oh my goodness, I loved the time that we had together. I love the inflatables. I love that you came to celebrate our new pastor. I love our new pastor. I'm so glad that the Lord has brought Andy to the Ridge. You're not going to find a more loving and more gracious pastor than Andy Ginn, and I look forward to his leadership here at the church. He's away today. He asked me to fill in for him while he's away. He'll be back next Sunday. But while I'm here, I know it's been a little while since I've talked to y'all, so why don't we just start things off on the right foot? I've got a joke. I know y'all have been dying to hear my jokes. For those of y'all that are new, it's kind of my thing. And y'all, it's been a little while. So you guess what, y'all? My journey group gave me a whole book of dad jokes. So if these go bad, it's their fault, not mine. Okay? They're on the back row. You can blame them. Okay, so here we go. Let me share a few of these with you. Starting off, sorry for my Tennessee people, but what did Tennessee? What Arkansas? Ah, that's a nothing. Oh, I love it. Oh, the silence in here. I don't know if online y'all can tell how awkwardly silent that was, but it was perfect. All right, I got another one. Here we go. Whoever stole my copy of Microsoft Office, I will find you. You have my word. Yeah. I've got some people down front that are helping me out. This is good. All right, one more. It takes a lot of guts to be an organ donor. Okay, and we'll leave it there. Okay, all right. I've got plenty more, but we'll let that be. I'll share more with you next time Andy lets me preach, if there is a next time. Anyway, let me start off with a story that leads us into powerful prayers. Story goes that there's this substitute school teacher that was showing up to teach Sunday school, and she was struggling because she knew that in the cabinet there was the teaching material that she needed for the morning, but there's a combination lock, and she forgot the combination code. She could not remember it. She struggled with it, just couldn't remember it. So finally, she went to the preacher. She went to the pastor's study. She asked for help. The pastor came into the room, and he began to turn that lock. And he went immediately to the first number. And then he went immediately to the second number. And then he stopped. And that third number, he just kind of looked at that lock. He stared blankly at it. And the teacher thought to herself, oh, he doesn't know the combination either. This is terrible. Not going to be able to teach these kids this morning. Finally, the preacher, looking at the lock, he turned his head upward towards heaven. His lips moved a little bit. Then he looked back at that lock and went directly to the final number and opened it up. And the teacher was amazed, and she said, "Preacher, that's a miracle. I can't believe God just answered your prayer. I am in awe of your faith." And the preacher said, "It's really nothing. The code is on a piece of tape up on the ceiling." Now, I don't know if there's a little bit of truth to that, because I have been in churches where the code literally is for the church safe on the wall taped. So this may be grounded in a little bit of reality. But what I want to talk about are powerful prayers. Those prayers where we see miracles actually do happen. And they happen all the time. They happen all the time in the Bible. And the thing is that they happen to very ordinary people. People just like you, people just like me. And when I say that, you may be thinking, how come miracles never happen in my life? I mean, doesn't God want to work in my life? And I believe he does. I believe that God wants to move in amazing ways in and through your life, through these holidays, into Christmas, and into the new year and beyond. So what I want to do this morning is I want to talk about powerful prayers, and I want to give you some principles, okay? Some things that I've learned from Scripture on how to pray so that our prayers are a little bit more powerful. And for our time this morning, I want to look at Luke chapter 18. So if you have your Bibles and you want to turn with me, Luke chapter 18, we're going to be in the New Living Translation. If you got your app open and you want to follow along, you can go to the NLT so that you can read word for word. But this is the story of the blind beggar, okay? How he was healed. Now, I think it teaches us a few great things on how to approach Jesus, how to have those powerful requests. So this is good, because Some of you may be thinking to yourself, I'm not really praying about anything right now. Everything's going good. You know, I don't really have a need in my life or this place where I need a powerful prayer here or there. I'm not at that spot. But pay attention, because sooner or later you will, right? If you're not going through it now, you will. We're either coming out of something or we're going into something, right? That's how this world works. This world is broken. And we need the help of an almighty Savior at work in our life. We need to remember to go to Him. So how do we do that? How do we have those powerful prayers? I'm not going to waste any time. We're just going to jump right in. So if you have some notes, you want to jot these down. Point number one when it comes to powerful prayers, that we got to be passionate. Number one is be passionate. Pray with all your heart. Pray with great intensity. Pray with feeling. Pray with urgency. You need to let God feel your heart. And this shows itself in Luke 18 with the blind beggar. Let's start this story. In Luke 18, verse 35 is where we are going to begin. It says this: as Jesus approached Jericho, a blind beggar was sitting beside the road. When he heard the noise of the crowd going past, he asked, "What's going on?" And they told him, "This is Jesus, the Nazarene, is walking by." So he began shouting, "Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me." No doubt this guy has heard about Jesus. He's lost in the crowd. He doesn't know where Jesus is. Unfortunately, of course, he can't see, right? The only option he has is to yell, right? "Jesus, I'm over here. I'm over here. I know you're somewhere. I don't know where you are, but Jesus, come over here to me. Come talk to me, please." And you can hear this passion. "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy." You can hear it in his expression. He's passionate in how he's approaching his Heavenly Father. I remember a while back when we were at Brookstone, and I'm walking down the hall getting ready to preach. I walked by the Sunday school classrooms, little kids' rooms, and one of my five-year-old little friends, she comes out and she just yells at me, "Jimmy," which I always thought was funny. It's not Mr. Jimmy, it was Jimmy. And she just told me, she was so excited. And I went over and I said, "You know, well, what's going on?" And she told me all about her birthday. "I got a birthday coming up. I'm going to be 5 years old and I got a birthday." And she's so excited about it. And I'm thinking, well, this is great, but I got to go preach, right? But I'm sitting here having a conversation. I asked her, I said, "Well, what are you asking for your birthday?" And she was so excited to tell me. And I was thinking, a five-year-old little girl, like, what would you think a five-year-old little girl would want? Something, dolls or whatever's current, whatever Bluey or whatever's out there right now. I don't even know, right? But I was not expecting this. And she said, "A telescope." And I just kind of laughed. I was like, because you never really know what kids are going to say, do you? She said, "A telescope." And then she went on and on and on about how much she wanted this telescope. And so I thought about it and went and preached, of course, and the next day after her birthday party was over, I texted her mom and dad and asked them, I was like, "Did she get a telescope for her birthday?" Because she was so excited about it. And he said, "Of course, absolutely." Now, why did that happen? Because she was passionate about it. You could hear the excitement in her voice. You know, this is the kind of way that I view God. I think God is really listening to the intensity in our voice, in our request, not just what you say, but how you say it. And the reason this is so good for us to remember is because it's so easy for us just to go through the motions of praying, just to check it off the list or get it done for the day, because I know that this is what a good Christian should do, and so I'm just going to get it done. And honestly, we all run into ruts in our prayer life, right? Same old prayers that don't really come from the heart at all. And honestly, the longer we're a Christian, the easier it is to do, because we learn the rhythms and we learn the rhymes and we learn the right phrases and the things to say. And I think about this all the time when it comes to sitting down to pray for my food. You know, when you pray for your food, if you remember to pray for your food, you know, what do you do? How do you do it? And so often we say the same thing over and over and over again, like, "Bless this food to the nourishment of my body. Short, quick, to the point, so I can eat." I overheard somebody the other day say, "Rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub." And I was like, I don't think that works. Right? So I've started doing something in my prayers, and I break up that monotony of it, the repetition of it. And I begin to thank God for something or pray for something. Like if my girls aren't there in the home, to just stop and pray for them in the middle of whatever we're doing, whether at the meal. Or just to thank him for the time of fellowship that I'm having with the people at the table. Maybe pray for them specifically. Just something that breaks up the repetition and shows my heart a little bit. And when I think about passionate prayers and showing heart, I think about David in Scripture. After all, he is the one that is described as someone having a heart like God, right? God's own heart. Let me show you why we say this in Psalm 142, his passionate prayers. He says this. He says, loudly, loudly I cry to the Lord. Loudly I plead with the Lord for mercy. I pour myself out. In his presence. And you can just feel the intensity in his request. There is no wonder that God was listening to David. There is no wonder that he said, this is someone that is after my own heart right here, because he shows me his heart. Because he lets me in. So here's the first lesson we learn. When we need Jesus to work and answer and move in our life, to say a powerful prayer means that I am opening my heart to him. I actually think it's better to pray with all heart, no words, than all words and no heart. Because let's be honest, God's paying attention. So be passionate in what you bring to him. And just like a good father who's going to give his five-year-old daughter a telescope because she's passionate about it, right? Our heavenly father, he says, if your earthly fathers know how to give good things, then how much more? How much more will your heavenly father provide? So be passionate. This man, he was passionate in his request. Number two, the other thing he was is that he was persistent. He was persistent in his asking. So keep on keeping on. Keep praying. And don't get discouraged. Let's see how this plays out in the story with the blind beggar. After he's been yelling in the crowd, I imagine it's getting a little chaotic. He's getting to be a little bit of a nuisance. So it's no surprise that this happens. Look at verse 39. Be quiet, the people yelled in front of him. The people in front yelled at him, be quiet. He's going crazy. Hey, Jesus, over here, come talk to me. Where are you? I can't see you, but I know you're there. And everybody else is like, stop doing this. What are you doing? Calm down. Don't you know who this Jesus is? Don't you know what he's about to do? He's probably going to start preaching or saying something that we all need to hear. He's going to do something amazing, and you're being disruptive. Calm down and sit down and be quiet. But what does it say? That only made him shout louder. Don't you love it? It made him keep on. He says, Son of David, have mercy on me. He's not done, and he's not going to miss his chance. This guy is determined. I love it. I admire it. Let me ask you this. When you pray, are you persistent in your prayers? Are you relentless? Would you describe yourself that way? Or do you just kind of pray about it one time and then you're like, you know, if God doesn't, if I don't hear anything or if I'm not feeling anything about a week or so, it's just like, just forget about it. You see, I think that attitude is kind of common when it comes to Christians sometimes. But Scripture encourages us, don't give up. Let me share a few of these great pieces of Scripture from the Bible. Colossians 4:2 says, never give up praying. And when you pray, keep alert. Don't give up. Keep watching. Keep paying attention. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, never stop praying. One of the shortest verses in the Bible, but it's so powerful. Don't stop. Give it everything you have. Jesus tells us in Matthew 7:7, you've all heard this scripture before, keep on asking and you'll receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you'll find it. Keep on knocking. And the door is going to be opened. My plan is to overwhelm you with scripture, and I could go on. But I won't, because I know you want to go to lunch at some point today. So we'll tie a little bow on that one and leave that one alone. But the question remains, are you persistent? Are you persistent in your prayers? But another question is, why? Why does God want us to be so persistent in prayers? Like, why demand that of us? What's the point of it? Why doesn't he just answer us when we ask right off the start? Well, I think there's a few reasons. Let me focus on just two of them, and you can write this off to the side if you're taking notes. But number one is that I believe that persistence clarifies. And what I mean by that is persistence shows how much we really want something or really need something in our life. When I'm praying for a miracle to happen, persistence shows just how much it means to me. And it's kind of like this. Have you ever noticed that the longer you have to wait for something, the more you want it, right? Or you don't. Are you beginning to realize on the flip side, maybe I don't need this? It helps clarify things a little bit. Either the desire will build or it'll fade away, right? I think prayer works this way. The longer we pray over something, the clearer things become. Is this really what I should be after? Is this really what God wants in my life for me next? For the longest time in seminary, I prayed for my own church. I wanted the suit. I wanted the robe. I wanted the pulpit. I wanted to stand up at the end of the service and say, may the Lord bless you and guide you and uphold you with his mighty right hand. It's pretty good, right? Right? Totally could have done that. But the more I prayed about it, the longer I prayed about it, the more I began to see what God really wanted for me. My prayers began to shift. Sometimes God will do that. Persistence clarifies. And then persistence, what it also does, it prepares us. When we're persistent in our prayers, God is working, and he's working on you. God is way more interested in working on you. He wants to answer your prayers, of course, but he's more interested in your character than he is your comfort. So he's wanting to change you and make you more like him. Think about this when it comes to the Israelites wandering in the desert. They're wandering in the desert for how long? 40 years. 40 years of praying and wanting and pleading and needing. But in those 40 years of wondering, what is God doing? God is preparing them. He is forming them into this powerful nation. That when that prayer is answered, they are prepared and ready for what God has planned for them next, right? They are ready to go into the promised land. And with Joshua, with the Lord guiding, they take it over. So be persistent. It shows your desires, it prepares you. This is what the blind beggar was doing, and Jesus heard him. The third thing we got to do is we got to pray specifically. We got to pray specifically. Don't be vague, don't be general. Spell it out, be precise. Tell God exactly what you need. And that's what this beggar did. Let's go back to verse 40. It says this, when Jesus heard him, he stopped and he ordered that the man be brought to him. I love it. Who is this guy? And Jesus just stopped. Everybody's wondering, who's this guy? Why is he yelling so much? And Jesus just stops. Would you bring him to me? And as the man came near, Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? Be specific. What do you need? You got my attention. You got everybody's attention. Spill it. Let's hear it. And he says, I want to see. I want to see. Plain and simple. Love this. This guy's doing everything right. He knows exactly what he needs. I don't believe he had to think about it. Of course he didn't have to think about it. It just popped out. Now, did Jesus already know this about him? Of course. So why ask him? Why ask him? I think Jesus wants to hear him say it. He wants him to ask Jesus, right? He wants to have a conversation with this guy, to have a relationship whereby this person can come to Jesus and talk to him and feel that he's being heard, feel that Jesus is going to do something in his life, feel that there is a real relationship there between this blind beggar and the Son of God. How beautiful is that? No one else would listen to him. Everybody else is telling him to be quiet. Just sit down and be quiet. But Jesus wants to talk. Again, I think one of the downfalls of our prayer life is that we really wonder, does Jesus really want to talk to me? Is Jesus really listening to me? out of everybody in the world, and all those more powerful people than me, or all those better Christians than me, does Jesus really care about me? Is he really listening? And that's why we become so generic in our prayers as we approach God. We're so vague and we're just repetitive, right? But if God really does want that relationship with us, it takes a little bit more. It takes a little bit more effort to be specific. It takes a little bit more thought, a little bit more time, a little bit more attention. So if Jesus were to come up to you right now and ask you, what do you need? What do you need? What would you say in your prayer life right now? What are you saying? Are you being specific? Or are you just saying, bless me? God, would you just bless me? That's good. That's fine and all. But could you be more specific? Because what we're going to find in a minute, the more specific you are, the more faith it shows, right? And that's key too. We're going to talk more about that. I don't want to get ahead of myself. But what would it be in your life? What specifically are you willing to be like this man and take it to God? Or are you just like, whatever? God, whatever you want to do. Let me give you a verse to go along with this point. Philippians 4:6. We know this well. It says, pray about everything. Pray about everything. But Paul reminds the church in Philippi, he says, but tell God what you need. Specifically. Right? Make sure you're telling him what you need, what's on your heart, what's on your mind, what keeps you up at night. What are you anxious about? Be specific. And then the fourth point that we find in this with the blind beggar is that we got to be expectant. We got to expect God to answer. We got to expect Jesus to move. You got to believe and you got to put your faith in him. This beggar expected Jesus to help him. Look at verse 42. He says, Jesus said, all right. He says, receive your sight. Jesus is going to answer this guy's prayer. He's going to do it in front of everyone. Okay, you are going to be able to see. And why? Why are you going to be able to see? Jesus says, because your faith. Your faith is what's healed you. Faith. Isn't that great? In other words, it's not just because you asked. It's not just because you were obnoxious about it, which really got my attention, although that was great. It's because you asked really believing. You really believe that God could do it. And faith is key. And some of y'all, we go back to this topic that I brought up before. Some of y'all might say, well, I don't know that I have the faith that I need, right? I don't know, when you compare me to other Christians all over the world, I don't know, who am I, right? I don't know that I'm really that important, that God would really hear me, or that I even deserve for God to answer my prayers. Because of what you've done, what's happened in the past can trip us up so much, can't it? And you know what I have to say about that? You're absolutely right. You don't deserve it. And neither do I. We don't deserve to be in a relationship with God. We don't deserve for Jesus to stop that crowd and pay attention to us individually. We don't deserve to have him hear us or even speak to us or even acknowledge us because of what we've done in the sin in our life. But he does. And why is that? It's all because of grace. His grace is sufficient for us. There is more grace in God than sin in us. And I also tell you, if you feel this way, you're not alone. If you feel like you're not good enough and you don't have that kind of faith that God is looking for, Jesus tells us a story that goes along with this, right? And he says it's not so much really the size of your faith that matters, but the size of your God. Jesus puts it this way. If you have faith the size of a what? Mustard seed, right? You'll be able to do what? You'll move mountains. The size of a mustard seed moves mountains. We used to have these t-shirts in youth group. When I was a youth director, we had them printed up that said mountain movers with that verse underneath it. The size of a mustard seed. This means that you don't have to find this impossible amount of faith. You don't have to be like a Moses, like an Abraham, or a Billy Graham, or a Joel Fitz. I mean, who can live up to Joel Fitz, right? I mean, come on, right? I can talk about him because he's not in here. He's doing the middle school, so I don't have to worry about him yelling back at me. What you got to have is a little faith in a big God. But saying that, also know that you need to increase your faith. So how do we increase our faith and be more, have more expectation when it comes to what God is going to do? Two things I want to share with you real quick on how to grow your faith. Number one is to fill your mind with God's word. Be in God's word. The more you read scripture, the more it's going to penetrate your heart, right? So God's word wants to do. It wants to change our heart and who we are. So read scripture, put it inside, put it in your memory so that you can draw upon it later. Because when you do and you bring that back up, it's only going to strengthen your faith. And then the second thing I would say to do is to pray for big prayers. Pray a little more. Pray for something. Step outside of what's comfortable. Pray for something you wouldn't normally bring up and see what God can do. That takes a little bit of faith. So expect God to move. And then the last thing I want to bring up is to be grateful. Be sure to thank God in your prayers. Knowing that, just like we said before, you don't deserve God to hear you. You don't deserve Jesus to do anything in your life. The fact that he does, and that he wants to, and that he has that personal relationship with us, and that he loves us, we can be grateful for that. And we also see this in the blind beggar's response to the miracle. Let's finish this story out. In verse 43, it says this. It says, instantly the man could see, and he followed Jesus, doing what? Praising God. And then what happened? Once he started to thank and praise God, it spilled out into everybody else, and everybody else started to praise God as well. Two things happened here. Number one, he followed Jesus, and number two, he gave thanks. You know, when God answers your prayer, don't just write it off. Man, don't just jump into the next thing. Don't forget about it. Move on. Let it increase your faith. Be thankful and follow him more closely. You know, this goes right along with the season that we're in right now. Thanksgiving is coming up. I know a lot of y'all are already excited about Christmas. How many of y'all are excited about Christmas? Let me see. Raise your hands if you're excited about it. How many of y'all, let me ask you this. How many of y'all have already put up your Christmas decorations? Let me see. Raise your hands. Anybody? Yeah? Okay. All right. We had a lot more in the first service. Okay. How many of y'all are like me and you think, one holiday at a time, let's get through Thanksgiving first? Oh, there's my people right there. I am the only one in my family that thinks we should get through Thanksgiving first. The other day I walked in the house, Alexa was playing White Christmas. So you know what I said? I said, Alexa, stop. And then, of course, Shannon calls me a Scrooge. So one holiday at a time for me. I don't want to skip one and go to the next. And I'm being funny. You do what you want to. I think it's funny that I think it's great. Some people are so excited they start decorating for Christmas in October. Anyway, don't skip things and move on to the next, though. I think that can sometimes happen in our prayer life. Don't just skip on and forget Thanksgiving and move on to the next thing you need or want. Don't skip being grateful. It's important. I bet this guy followed so close to Jesus that no one else could get near him. I bet he was just like, thank you, Jesus. Can I get you some Starbucks, Jesus? Can I carry your bag for you, Jesus? Can I clean your sandals for you, Jesus? Thank you, thank you, thank you. Let's go back to Philippians 4. I want to point something out. When Paul is given instruction on prayer, he says this. He says, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Right? We already talked about this when it comes to being specific, but then he continues. He says, and thank him for what he's done. Don't forget this. This is so important to thank God for what he's done, because then what's going to happen? You're going to experience more of God's peace. You're going to experience more of God's peace because you're going to remember how big God is and how he's moved in your past, and it's going to bring comfort to you right here and for your future. Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So in light of the story of the beggar, I think this begs a question for us. Are your prayers filled with gratitude? with a thankful heart? If not, why not? When God answers a prayer, do you just kind of brush it off? Do you just move on to the next thing, right? Act like you deserve it? Or just forget about it at all? I think it's always good that we take the time to really approach him with thanksgiving. That's a life that God can work with. That's a heart, again, that God can work with. You see, I believe that we still serve a God that answers prayers. I really do. The same God that healed that beggar, the same Jesus that heard that request and healed him that day is the same Jesus that heals our requests, that hears us, and that answers us today. So you may be depressed. Pray about it. See if Jesus can bring you more joy. You may be worried. Pray about it. He can give you more peace. You may have a physical need. Pray about it. He can give you strength. You may have a conflict. Pray about it. He can provide grace. The question is, are you asking? Are you really asking? Are you really asking? Are you passionate? Are you persistent? Are you specific? Are you building that relationship with Jesus? Don't let him pass you by. Are you offering up powerful prayers? Let's pray together. God, we thank you for hearing us when we come to you. We thank you for the grace that you provide and the relationship you have with us. God, we thank you for working and moving and guiding and providing in our lives. So God, we come to you with our needs. Scripture says to pray about everything, no matter how big or small it is, to tell you what we need. So let's do that right now. Church family, let's just do that. Let's just pause for a brief moment in silence. And let's be specific. Everyone right now, just pray. And lay it at the feet of the Savior. Jesus, hear our prayers. God, I pray that we would be a passionate people coming after you. Jesus, that we would have the kind of faith to believe that you will move those mountains. So God, be with us and help us to be passionate and persistent and specific and to expect great things, God. And when you move and when you work, may we give you all the thanks, all the praise, and all the glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen. Amen.